So good morning, guys. Fun to be here. We've been here a bunch this weekend. There's a whole bunch of folks at every service. I don't know what folks you are. Or is this people that I haven't met? How many people haven't I met this week? How many people is this the first time I'm seeing you? Whoa, are you kidding? This is like a whole new fish pond. This is amazing. So this is good. This is your family I knew I had, but I didn't know I had. And I think there's like about, a bunch of people behind that lens up there. So, hey, what's up there? Four campuses or something? Help me, because I think he told me that. Is there like a bunch of campuses that we're talking to right now? Five? Hey, bless ya. Okay, I'm going to have fun this morning. I hope you're going to have as much fun as me, okay? I'm going to really challenge you, so I hope you came to be challenged. Listen, you never just come to church. You are the church. So please do yourself a favor. Like, pursue relationship and intimacy with God so that nothing that you do that's Christian takes the place of knowing Him. You don't come to church because you're a Christian. You come to church to gather together to encourage one another and stir one another in love and good works. You don't just come to church because it's the Christian thing to do. The Bible says the reason we gather is to stay focused and fixed and sharpened and leave looking more like Him because we came. See, you have to understand that we're the lights of the world. I know Jesus is the light of the world, but He's in us and He said, you're the light of the world. That's amazing. So let your light so shine before men. Amen? So that they can see your life lived, your good works, and glorify the Father. That's a big deal. That means God gave every one of us a sphere of influence. That means God gave every one of us an authority. So you might feel, ooh, I just saw my shock collar boundary. They put a thing in my mic. If I cross that line, I will vibrate. Seriously, because I'm a wanderer, and they, look at that, they boxed me in. I have a leash. It's crazy. I'm like, oh my goodness. So, oh, I hope I don't cross that thing. Yeah, I'm just going to stand right here. I need an 8.5 by 11. I'm going to stand on it. Seriously, listen, guys. Oh my goodness. And nobody, I'm not correcting anybody. I'm not saying it's wrong that you came. Do yourself a favor. Make sure that you wake up every day and just appreciate His love for you and get to know God like you've never known Him before. Stay fixed on purpose and why He's inside of you. Never let anything take the place of knowing Him. Knowing Him is the biggest deal of your life because that's where your life's changed. That's where your attitudes are changed. That's where your perspectives change. That's where your motives change. Come on. We have the God of all glory inside of us, and some of us actually think we could have a bad day or a miserable day or be discouraged or be frustrated, and yet the Spirit of God that raised Him from the dead, Jesus, lives in us. And I'm not sure we get that sometimes. And I think sometimes we're waiting for this thing to wrap up and we prayed the prayer and we're going to go to heaven. No, heaven came into you. Heaven came into me. I'm not waiting to go to heaven. Heaven's here. It's on the earth. The kingdom of God is at hand. You say, where is it? You're looking at it. You get it? Okay. Look, I hope you're okay this morning because I'm excited. I feel that way. I'm just excited. I wasn't this flaky and excited in the other services. I felt more restrained. For some reason, He's turned me loose and I'm on a leash, so that's kind of weird. He had mercy on the cameraman the other nights because they didn't have a leash and I'd have been everywhere. So I was more subdued, but I feel excited this morning. And here's why. We have purpose in our lives. Our lives are not happenstance, people. We didn't wake up just because. Mercy woke you up today. God gives life. Mercy woke you up. There's a time to be born, and here you sit. This is your time. The Bible says there's a time to be born. That means God saw your day before it was seen. It says you were predestined to be a son and a daughter. That means before time, God knew you before you were ever known. And yet we don't get our heart fixed in that truth, and we can get so deceived and just feel like things ain't going right for me. I don't know what the big deal is about my life. Man, I got dealt a bad hand. And all of a sudden, we're just trained to be so self-centered and so self-conscious and all about me and what about me and get our prayers reduced to just my needs, my circumstances, and all of a sudden we're just trying to use the gospel to survive. I've actually met Christians that aren't encouraged, and heaven's going, huh? You know why we're not encouraged? Because we're taking life personal instead of the gospel. And we're not understanding why he lives inside of us. And sometimes we get the idea that he's here to assure we have a better day. He's here to assure we have a transformed day and that we look like him in the midst of that day. He never guaranteed. He said many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Lord's going to deliver you out of them all, but I'm telling you, you're going to be tried and tested. You live in a perverse world. The spirit and wisdom of this age is all around us, but Christ is in us. And I'm telling you, the purpose of the cross is amazing. God wants to restore us back to our created value, our true identity, and the reason he made man in the first place, guys. I'm going to be real foundational with you this morning. I don't have tons of time. I have little notes up here because I preach, man. I'll mess things up. It's good he takes care of me. He's keeping an eye on me. You invite me into a setting like this, you better keep an eye on me because there's transition in other services. Man, here's the deal. God said, let us make man in our... Let's look there. Genesis chapter 1. Would you go there with me? I quote this stuff to save time, but I feel like we ought to read it. You know what's amazing? Remember in Genesis 6, God looked at the earth and man's heart was continually wicked. Remember how the flood came? Remember how Noah and his family was saved on the ark through the flood? And at the end of that, God began to speak to him and kind of give him some direction. And he talked about, you know, if a man sheds blood by man, his blood will be shed, etc., etc. And at the end of that whole thing, he said, because God made man in his image. And what he was holding up in the midst of the earth being continually wicked and the flood and all unrighteousness gone now and starting afresh, he was reiterating, don't forget why you're here. The reason there's man on the earth is for my image, no other reason. You're not alive for you. You're not alive to find the right spouse and have three kids and a great IRA. You're not, that's great if all that works out, and I hope it does, and you ought to aim at that. It would be wise. But that's not why you're on the earth. The only reason your feet are on the planet is for the image of God. And anything else is outside of the grace of your created value. That's why life is so frustrating sometimes and seems so up and down, because we don't know why we're here. And we still go to church because we have this need for God and this love for God. And we honor the cross and we miss the point of it sometimes. The cross is not to take you to heaven. The cross is to restore you back to the beginning before sin, as if nothing changed. The cross puts off the old, puts on the new, and the new is renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. You put on Christ. It's Christ in us that's the hope of glory. Christ through you is the manifestation of that glory. Look, the word glory very simply means any manifest attribute of God. You could do a 3-day conference on glory. But the word glory very simply means any made known, seen attribute of God. So watch. The Christ in me is the hope of someone seeing God. You get it? Man! And you think I'm going to have issues when that's possible? You think I'm going to have contention when that's possible? You think I'm going to get trapped in the rat race of he said, she said? Well, I don't feel good. Well, they treated me wrong. Well, they shouldn't have said that. Well, no wonder I'm hurt. Well, you don't. And then, holy, holy. Man, we ain't getting it. We've got issues in the church. We got tension and contention in our homes sometimes. We got frustration. We do marriage counseling as pastors, and the couples sit like this. And they're mad at each other because they don't know why they're saved. They know they need saved, but they don't know why they're saved. You're not saved to be mad at each other. You're saved to love one another and lay down your life, whether they're right or wrong. You're laying down your life. You're giving yourself. You're following Jesus. That doesn't make you a pushover. That doesn't make you a doormat. That doesn't make you passive. That makes you like him. Natural knowledge taught us all those other things. Well, you can't be passive. Well, you can't be a pushover. Well, you can't be soft. Well, you need to stand for your rights. Well, you need to stand up. People are just going to walk all over you. Well, I guess you should have caught Jesus and counseled him, or he made a big mistake. Because, well, if you just give too much, you're just going to enable people. You're just going to allow them to stay the same. Jesus did not enable me. He changed me. We've got some mixed up, twisted wisdom out there, and it came from the devil, guys. And he is infiltrating into the wisdom of God, and he's trying to get this mixed drink in our minds so that we can go to church and fail to be the church, or just go to church and fail to shine and look like him. And all of a sudden we have just as much issues, the same mentalities, and the same emotional makeup as people that never went to church. That cannot be the gospel. We're a peculiar people. We're a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts a bushel over it. What do all those scriptures mean? Why are they there? So that we never let what I'm saying happen. So that every day we wake up, we understand the gift of life. We understand the honor of life. We understand that God gave me this little window called life that's going to speak for eternity on behalf of the King if I live it by faith. Or I can get discouraged, expended on me, come up with three excuses why I'm not where I should be, and none of those reasons are Lord. And then one day look into his fiery eyes of love and go, oh, I'd have believed in you if it wasn't for him. You won't even be able to think that, let alone say that in that moment. You'll just go, duh. So why do we let it matter so much now? Why do we live by our feelings now? God, as I'm not correcting you, I'm saying, man, let's not let none of that happen. Don't let anything steal the precious fruit of the vine. God wants to do a work in us that's so amazing. He wants us to be peacemakers. He wants us to walk in love. He wants us to be patient and kind and everything that he was to us, so the world gets a real good look at him. He doesn't want us in doctrinal wars, theological wars, technical wars. He doesn't want us in fights and schism among us. He wants us to become love and see the value of people. That's what he wants. He doesn't want us to sit at a coffee table and come from different circles. Well, where do you go? Well, what do you believe? Oh, you go over there? Yeah, okay. It's tragic what's happened in the body of Christ that way. And we've missed the whole point of why the Spirit of God lives in us. And sometimes you just find your identity for going to a great church because this place is amazing and blessed. You guys are blessed here. But this is not your identity. This is not your Christianity. This is the blessing of a meeting place. This is the convenience of a lot of good things. And you guys run like a well-oiled machine. You have some of the most amazing servant hearts, people. You guys work together in some ways that I'm not used to seeing. And I travel every week. You guys really have something good here. Let's not let that just be who we are. Let's let that empower us to continue to be who he called us to be. Because I'll tell you what, when all these things are in place that I see all weekend, it just makes it so run. It's like a well-oiled machine so that we can fulfill all the will of God, not so we can have good church. I get concerned when things become a movement. I get concerned when things get this big because sometimes it attracts people because they find themselves in being a part of something instead of being in him. And I don't think God's threatened by things getting real big. I think it's just our responsibility to keep in front of us why we're here. Or you'll just get caught up in the songs, the feelings, and wasn't that great service? And then you'll be driving and say, oh, look at her. Why is she so stupid? Look at her. Doesn't she just get on your nerves? No. No, she doesn't. You mean the way she acts doesn't bother you? No, it makes me cry because if she knew who she was, she wouldn't act that way. Why am I frustrated with her? Come on, if God was like that, he'd have been frustrated with you. He'd have never sent his son. Do you understand when you do that to each other, you put yourself up high and you make them low? Do you understand it's pride and deception? It's the fall of man at its finest. When you have a judgment towards somebody that's less than their created value, do you understand that that's pride and judgment, and it absolutely shows that you don't understand the love of God? You say, well, they just get on my nerves. Then you need new nerves. lady came to my pastor and said, "Pastor, you're such a man of God. I know God moves when you pray. I need you to pray for my husband. He's just moving in such a strategy. He has so figured me out. He knows just how to push my buttons, get a rise out of me, and get me moving. And he just this and that. And I just want to pray that God just touch him and just get him to stop pushing all those buttons." And pastor said, "I have a better idea. I think we should pray something else." And she said, "What? Let's just pray that you go buttonless." See, we're always thinking the person around us is the problem, and God's waiting for you to die and get filled with him so you see them like he does. See, I used to think you were my problem. You were my cop-out. I used to think, God, the world's so whacked. If you would just tweak people, the world would be better. And he's like, where I was concerned, God wasn't looking at others. He was looking at me. He was waiting for me to give myself to him. Did that turn you to Genesis 1?
I did. You guys on the campuses, I didn't forget Genesis 1. We're going there now. So if you gave up on me and closed your Bible, get it back open.
Watch this. This is amazing. Then God said, verse 26, let us make man in our image, according to our, let them have dominion. And that's not the point right now. I mean, let them have dominion. That's awesome. They even have dominion over every creeping thing that creeps on there. So you have dominion over the creep, and that's not people. So God, wow. So verse 26, he talked about it. Verse 27, he did it.
That's why you're here. If God didn't do it, we wouldn't be here.
The fact that Christians believe God created the earth and created man, this scripture is amazing. The reason we're sitting here is because of verse 27. Now, you bear with me this morning, because we've been trained by the world. We've been trained by the flesh. From the time you can remember, you were trying to find out who you were. You were letting life define you. And by the time you're a very young age, you're nothing more than the circumstances you've encountered, and you're nothing more than the people that have lived around you. You're trying to fit in, be accepted, not rejected. You're trying to find value and esteem. When the kids laugh at you in the lunchroom in third grade and two other kids chime in, you feel devastated, you feel ashamed, or you feel angry, cold, and hard, and you either get broken in that moment or learn to be a fighter. It's like we get fashioned by all the wrong things. Many of us today, now that we're Christians, still don't understand, and we're still letting that be the voice of our lives. Well, you don't know what it was like when I was growing up. Well, I had a tough childhood. We don't know what happened to me when I was four. And we're still letting what men did speak louder than what he did. And yet we say we live by faith. No, we don't. We're living by our experiences, our relating to those experiences, and our psychological knowledge about them. We're not living by faith then when we do that. Because he made all things. Look, my daddy was an alcoholic. He never said, "I love you." I grew up in poverty. I don't need to tell my story, but maybe you need to know that everyone has one. That yours isn't the only story, and I'm not being insensitive. If we reduce ourselves to who's been through the most hell, then the best we can do is sympathize with the worst story. But there's no redemption in that. There's no transformation. Look, I wish your dad said he loved you. I wish that your dad didn't run away. I wish your uncle didn't touch you wrong. I really do wish that stuff didn't happen. Wonder if I was touched wrong. What does it matter now that he's come? The truth has come, and I find the real me. And I realize the strategy of sin has tried to seduce me and make me hard and make me hurt and make me broke and make me even mad at God, so that when the good news came, there wasn't nothing good about it because of the hell I've been through. Well, what about the hell he's been through? What about Christ putting on flesh and paying a price to get you out of that thing? And you say, "Well, God wasn't there." Are you kidding me? He was sitting at the right hand of God. He had already made a way of escape. He put on flesh and paid the price to remove every man's sin and the effects of those sins. I promise you, your beef is not with God. You say, "Well, if God loved me, then why'd he let that happen? If he didn't love you, why'd he butcher his son on a cross?" See, we ask the wrong questions because we think for ourselves. We don't think for the kingdom.
And we think for our pain and our experiences and our trauma, and all of a sudden the clay has the right to pump its fist at the Creator. That's a sure sign of the fall. That your one little mind can contest unsearchable wisdom. Come on, we're going to be reduced to this if we're not careful. I'm telling you, there's people sitting here today, and you see your need for Savior, you're sincere, you're Christians, and you stay encouraged and keep going after God, but in a heartbeat you can be hurt, offended, feel insecure, and self-conscious. And God wants that destroyed in our lives. God doesn't want you a product of life. He doesn't want life to speak louder than truth. He doesn't want you no stronger than the weakness around you. He wants you as strong as the one that lives inside of you. He doesn't want you waking up with expectations all over people because you've set them up to fail you and disappoint you. And when you see them, all you see is broken trust and failed expectations. He didn't create you to expect from one another. He created you to love one another. Come on. The only reason you're hurt is because you put expectations on people. Listen, everybody's to live trustworthy, but you put your trust in no one. That doesn't mean you're building a wall and protecting. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. No, I have a relationship with Hap this whole weekend, and I treat him as trustable. I believe the best about him. We have an easy time communicating. There's nothing he can do to break my heart. It gives the freedom to the relationship. I'm not looking for him for what's wrong with him. I'm not waiting for him to slip up in his words. I'm not waiting for him to hurt me because he can't. I'm not, well, I don't want to get too close to him because I've been close to other leaders and then I get my hopes up and then they find out they're this and this and this. What are we thinking? I didn't wake up for you to love me today. I didn't wake up for you to tell me anything nice. I woke up to love you and lay down my life for you, whatever that means in our situations. And if you're not seeing me clear, that doesn't change me. If you don't have a good view of me, that doesn't make me insecure. If you do something off the wall against me and we're in the same body of Christ, I will never cry because of you. I'll cry for you because it means you have no clue who you are. You couldn't live that way. You're in big trouble. What you say is not a threat to me. How you're living means a lot, and it shows me what you understand or don't. That's where mercy comes from. Now, guys, if God didn't live that way and see us that way, he'd have never had faith to send his son. He'd have just said, those guys concern me. Who here, be honest, and I want to see a show of hands. Who here, since you've been saved, knew to do right and still did wrong? Boy, that's a lot of hands. And somehow we forget that. And we expect God. We've painted this picture that God's like, oh, well, I understand. That's the way you folks are. I just love you guys. Oh. That's not God and that's not love. Every time you do that, God says, oh, you're so much more. That's not who you are. That's not my wisdom. Oh, and his love never fails. Not because he's some mysterious lover. Not because he's lonely and desperate to find a friend. So he's willing to overlook everything just to stay together. He knows you're more than what you're producing. And while you were yet a sinner, he sent the Son. Now watch. We knew to do right and we still didn't. And look how many hands shot up. And yet, God still loves us, he's for us, and he wants to grow us and fashion us, and we go to pray to him sincerely and humble. He doesn't say, oh, it's you. You know, you really hurt me yesterday. You know, I was counting on you. You prayed to me the day before and said you would never this, and your heart's changed, and your life's changed forever. And then the very next day, you're out here, and you did this and said that. And I know you were convicted because I convicted you myself, and I know you thought about it because you cried a little, and then you shook it off, and you just lived the rest of the day and never even talked to me about it. And now you're coming, oh, holy God, I just, where's you? I give my life. You know, you just got my heart on a yo-yo. I don't know where we're even at anymore. I'm just a little having trouble with even our relationship because I don't know whether we're even coming or going. Because, you know, I was depending on you. My trust is just a little shook right now, okay? I'll tell you what, just give me some time. Just back off. And doesn't that sound foolish when you put that in God's mouth? It ought to sound just as foolish in yours. You're made for his image. And as he is, so are you in the world. And as the Father sent him, he sent you. Come on, I'm on you a little bit. I know, that's all right. Let me go. I just stuck the campuses. That's what I did. Come on, guys. If I can't find it in Jesus' life, I don't ever want to find it in mine, because he didn't say, sing to me and pray to me. He said, follow me. Here's what Jesus did. He modeled a life that we were created for. He showed us what life looks like in the Father. He fulfilled what Adam failed. The Son of God is not just your Savior. He's your model for life. Jesus is who we're following, not singing to.
Did you get it?
And guess where he lives? Inside you. Why?
Because he wants to, because that's why he made you. To live with you and in you and flow through you, because he made you for his image. So life apart from him, life without unity with him, life without surrender to him, is outside of your created value.
It's like putting the metal in a microwave. Read the manufacturer's handbook. Whoever stuck some metal in a microwave by accident? Anybody ever do that? It's a little shocking, isn't it? Why?
Because the microwave wasn't made for metal. Read the manufacturer's handbook. You weren't made for yourself. And if you start living for yourself, you'll hurt the product, because you weren't made for you.
Jesus said, if any man come after me, pray a prayer and assure that your name's in the book of life. That's not what he said. He said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. For some reason, we don't preach that. We just preach eternal security. We preach, pray your prayer and make sure you go to heaven. No, he wants heaven in you. You're not waiting for a bus to pick you up. He's already here. Eternal life starts the day you're born again, because you were dead the day before. If any man come after me, let him first what? See, that's the biggest stumbling block on the planet. And I promise you, it's the biggest stumbling block among us. And it's not because we're evil. It's because sometimes we don't understand. We've been only told we're Christians for blessings. We're Christians to go to heaven. We're Christians to be forgiven. No, we're Christians to be transformed back into his image and walk in love so the world can see the beauty of the Father. The last thing you need is an attitude, cop an opinion, pride, an expression. Well, let me tell you what I think. Probably save that. We've reduced ourselves, man, by this false pride. You come home from work and you've been just tolerating your boss, and you come home and your wife's concerned and she sees the strain on you, but you're regular Christians and you serve in ministry and you even teach the children, and you come home one day and, how was your day, honey? Are you okay? I've been praying for you. Oh, I'm okay, man. I actually feel good. I gave the boss a piece of my mind. I finally gave him a piece of my mind. He's been stepping on me enough. I really, what? Yeah. Okay. Wow. Now the world's better. You're not on the earth to give him a piece of your mind. You're on the earth to give him Jesus. You're not to pray for a new job because you're frustrated with your other one. You're to be a light in the one you're at and be thankful for the door of opportunity to be a mission field everywhere you go, a missionary. One of the greatest prayers I got when I was a pastor is, pray I get a new job. I'd love to be in full-time ministry. Pray that I get out of that place. The way they talk just defiles me. By the end of the day, I am so weary. And I'm like, I will never pray that for you. I hope God balls and chains you there till you get an understanding. Because you're just going to run from people and life and go to church your whole life and miss the point of why you were saved. And all of a sudden you'll find out one day it was just all about you, and you were living for convenience, and you were living for lush, and you were living for surface peace, and you were just living for everybody to not ruffle you, because you can be ruffled. I said last night, man, if your feathers get hackled, even by the things I'm saying, pluck yourself. You say, well, you really are getting under my skin. Get new skin. Come on, it has never been about you. It's been about Christ in you from the beginning. God made you for His image. And the only way we learn to think for ourselves is because Adam sinned and fell away from God. So Jesus took sin upon Himself. God cursed it on the cross, took it off of you, not just to take away the things you did bad, but to take away the effects of that sin, making you think for yourself, live for yourself, justify yourself, protect yourself, defend yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself doesn't mean you don't go to the movies, you don't go golfing, you don't joke. Deny yourself means you don't take life personal, you take the gospel personal, so you walk in love and never lose the sight of the value of people. Uh-oh. Happy, I'm in trouble. Oh, I'm in so much trouble. I was having fun. I was just getting started. So God, I'm panicking. So God created man. Oh my goodness, we'll just wrap up with this. It's verse 27. So God in 26 talked about it, but in 27, so God created man in His own image. Oh my goodness, this is so redundant. Why does He keep saying it over and over? He probably wants us to get it. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, and He blessed them. Why are you on the planet? For God's image. Life apart from pursuing His image is outside of your created value. It's outside of grace. There is no grace on your life to live your day without pursuing His image, because that's why you're alive. The cross of Christ is not fulfilled when a man prays a prayer to go to heaven someday. The cross of Christ is fulfilled when a man's nature is restored back to love, because the image of God is love. God is love. So God made man to love. When he ate the tree, he got cut off from love and the source of love and became bankrupt and in need of love. And every man since that day was born into that lie and into Adam, and you must be born again. You get it? So 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction is love. The purpose of the commandment is love. And love takes no account of a suffered wrong, because love doesn't seek its own, because it denied itself to pick up its cross and follow the King. Guys, that is Christianity. God bless you. I have to sit down.